This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the destination for Boston sports fans. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, their Black Friday sales event.
Brady over an outstretched hits too far for Brady, intercepted. Jordan Fuller comes up with his second interception of the night.
Since you took your love away, I go out every night and sleep all day.
Not a great night for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night against a really good Rams team, Wiggy. Curtis. So I hate to do it to you, but we should play that. We should continue to play that clip for the rest of the show.
Yeah, you really seem hurt by doing that in there. Really, I don't see a glee in your eye. I was about this close to calling downstairs Joe around midnight, saying I'm getting a little symptomatic this morning.
Does that team though look like a Super Bowl caliber team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I mean, they have.
Yeah, oh, they have the talent, offensively and defensively. Yep.
I think it was a mistake to bring your guy AB in.
That has nothing to do with it. I don't stop going down that road. That road has nothing to do with it. You look at this team, that has nothing to do with it. I think maybe Ken might have said this. When you think about Brady's career, he'll still be the greatest of all time, but we're gonna remember his last 2 years or however many years he plays. And go, why did he do that?
So you already are describing that it's going to end poorly, that this is on, that this is tracking in the wrong direction, and that in 10 years, people in New England will not think back to Super Bowl 51 and the greatest comeback in NFL history, or the fourth quarter comeback against the Legion of Boom and the Seahawks, or the first Super Bowl in 2001 when you beat the greatest show on turf. You're going to think about, oh yeah, he was in his final 2 years with the Bucs.
Too far for Brady and intercepted.
I think it's a good question to ask right now, because Patriots fan, you know everything that Tom Brady has accomplished, but you also know that Bill Belichick was a giant part of that. So are you
it's
now...
It's the worst time to ask it for Tom Brady. It's coming off an awful game.
But he's had a few of those this season, Curtis.
Right, he has 25 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yes. who has more interceptions, Tom Brady or Cam Newton?
Can I take a guess? Please, let me take one guess. That would be Tom Brady.
I would say if you compare those two right now, you should be fired.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you actually think that there is anything similar outside of the position that they play.
There's no doubt that people will remember all of Tom Brady's successes, but I've said this a million times. New England is very, what have you done for me lately? And that also extends to people's careers when they leave here. And they do tend to remember, especially somebody as big as Tom Brady with what he has accomplished here, him essentially falling off this performance cliff. People are not going to forget that thing about how he left and he sucked.
Well, you look at people texting in earlier about Montana with the Chiefs or Willie Mays stumbling around in the outfield or whatever. I mean, I do think that there are people that the whatever the freshest memory is the one that they have in their head. Is that what you're saying, Wiggy?
That's why it's Bill over Brady, because when you look at it, who's more likely to have success and get back on that, you know, championship horse, Brady or Belichick?
Brady.
And And no, you got, because you got to say Bill, because Bill, we know
they have
no
talent on the roster,
right? But Bill's going to coach another 5 years, maybe 6 years, even 7 years. Brady,
do you think of Shaquille O'Neal as a Celtic?
No, but I remember him as a Celtic.
Oh, really? So you think if you went around the nation today and asked 100 sports fans, they'd all say, "Yeah, Shaq played for the Celtics. It didn't go well. That really damaged his career."
But when Shaq, left the Lakers. Yeah, but when he left the Lakers, and then to Cleveland, like he didn't go from the Lakers to the Celtics.
What other team did he play for?
He was still at the peak of his playing
career.
Just
prove my point. What other team did Shaquille O'Neal play for in the NBA?
He played for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep.
He played for the Miami Heat.
Yep.
He played for the Celtics. He played for the Lakers. He played for the Orlando Magic. I feel like I'm missing one other team.
Yep, you are.
Are you comparing Shaq to Tom Brady?
Oh, both massive superstars. He played for the Suns, and I'm sure we all remember that.
Yeah, but Shaq wasn't at the height of his career.
And Tom Brady's not at the height of his career. He's 43. What are you missing?
The expectation is that he is the greatest of all time.
And he is.
The expectations for Shaq, where he was in his career, Shaq's career, by the time he got to the Celtics, people were like, this guy's no longer the dominant center of all. He was basically a bench player at best, if that. Brady was still looked at.
In 2008, when he played for the Suns, that you forgot about.
When you Brady and he to go to Bay, people were instantly penciling them in as, oh my God, they're Super Bowl winners, or they're one of the favorites to be in the Super Bowl because of the talent that he has around them.
Bill and Belichick's record. Okay, let's talk about this apples to apples. Bill Belichick's record as a head coach in New England is 2 games under 500 without Tom Brady. His record in Cleveland is under 500. He has never won. He has won one playoff game in his life that wasn't quarterbacked by Tom Brady. We know what Belichick is without Brady. We have a massive number of games and a sample size to read. Belichick without Brady is a mediocre NFL head coach, and that's what the numbers say.
I think that if Tom Brady is not able to be successful down there, and successful probably means winning a Super Bowl or at least getting there, nearly everyone is going to say he couldn't do it without Bill Belichick.
Correct.
And then do it with Bill. Greg, saying today.
Right. Curtis. And what people, and Curtis might have been one of them, who said that this is the most talent that Tom Brady has ever had in his career. Even more when he had back in 07 when he had his record-breaking season.
I think you said that.
No, I didn't say that, but there were a lot of people out there.
Oh, that's right. You said the Patriots were the best team in the AFC.
Maybe I might have even agreed with that. When you talk about the talent that he has around them offensively, maybe this is the most talent that he's had in his whole career.
And that's what he needs at this stage of his career, Wiggy, because he's 43 years old.
Now he's 43.
He needed a team to build around
him. But nobody
cared,
Danielle, about his age.
Yes, they do.
No, they didn't. Stop it.
People have been you can't shake a stick without people bringing up the fact that Tom Brady's 43.
But going into this season.
Thank you.
Going into this season, when he put himself in Tampa with all that talent, nobody said he's 43 years old.
What are you talking about? Everybody was saying.
No, they weren't. Curtis would never bring up the age. All Curtis Gray was. And he's. It's over for Bill, and Brady is going to win a Super Bowl. And it doesn't look like...
I mean, it certainly looks like it's over for Bill.
Here's John. John, what's up?
The winner and still undefeated world champion, Father Time.
Yes.
You mean when it came down to Tom versus Time, Time has won. I don't know.
Nobody beats Father Time.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, listen, why don't Curtis get a shrine on his lawn and make an honorable thing out of it or something?
For Tom?
Jesus. You know,
he has one.
You must be in love with this guy.
I am.
All he does is freaking football.
Okay, so do you love Bill Belichick, Jim?
1950 called.
But it doesn't matter, Bill Belichick or whatever. I sat through, I don't know about you, but I sat through when Schaefer Stadium was in. I was in Old Braves Field with them and all Fenway Park, the whole shabam. I loved them from the time all the way up now. Can we get off this thing about who's the best or whatever? Just concentrate on the team, like Wiggy says. Wiggy, you know, you played with them.
That's right. I'm trying. Right. He doesn't want to listen. But, Greg, who's more likely when you think about where they are?
Bill.
Bill. All right. Yeah, I don't even have to ask the question.
The
question was who has a better chance of getting back to championship contention And that,
wait,
and I,
wait, I thought they were going to win the rest of their games and go 10-6 this year.
Wiggy thinks they have a chance.
Wait, listen, even if it's not this year, he's still going to coach for another 5-6 years. He turns this thing around. Brady has got the best talent around him.
When has Bill Belichick turned something around on a roster with a team without Tom Brady as his quarterback?
Well, we're going to find out. We'll find
that.
Out
he's
over
been
the
coaching
next 5 years.
A very long time. When has that happened?
Well, this is the first time that he's been Brady, so we
it's
know
not. He was in Brady.
Well, he turned that into a winning program.
Okay. He inherited a team that was in the NFC Championship 2 years prior to when he arrived. He left, he won one playoff game, and was under 500 with that team.
Wiggy,
so stop the nonsense.
Wiggy, what did you say earlier the Bucs record would be if Bill Belichick were their coach right now?
10-0.
Yeah.
10-0. What's their record? Oh, they played 11 games. Excuse me. It'd be 11-0.
11-0.
And I said that.
They're 7-4, right?
Yep. And I said that if you put Belichick with that team and Cam at quarterback for them, they probably still be 11-0. If you put Tom Brady and Bruce Arians on this Patriots team with this roster, what's their record?
I mean, honestly, as a executive producer of WEEI, what he just said is fireable.
It's not fireable, Charles.
True.
It is absolutely fireable that we have an NFL expert who thinks
so
Cam
what's
Newton
their
would
record?
Be undefeated.
It's what's their record?
Patently idiotic. It's not even what's worth their, answering.
What's their record? Cam Newton with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, Ronald Jones, that defense, and Bill Belichick as head
Here's
coach.
What we'll do. We'll compare
Answer
apples.
The question.
Yeah, I'm going to. We compare apples to apples.
Oh,
with
my
the
God,
same team, Tom Brady had 24 touchdowns.
We're playing hypotheticals.
8 interceptions. This year, Cam Newton has 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
We're playing hypotheticals. Well, clearly Cam needs better talent.
The defense rests.
Well, no. We're playing hypotheticals.
They have 8 opt-outs. I mean, half the team's
overall.
Not there.
What opt-outs on offense?
With
Cannon.
Curtis.
Okay. If Marcus Cannon were there, he'd be really doing
would've,
well.
Would've so what would the end of that game Sunday.
Oh, my God.
What would their record be, Curtis?
How does Cam Newton do diagnosing when blitzes are coming? Is he change into the right play? I never see him do that. That's what Brady did with this offense.
He did in the playoff game?
For 20 years, Ken, that's what he did with the offense. And he went 12-4 with this roster that's currently 4-6.
Yeah, he'd been in the offense. Cam's been in 6
I know.
Minutes.
And he had COVID.
Did he?
Exactly. And he got COVID, so he missed a couple of weeks.
Did Tom Brady have a better record with Bill at this time last year than he does with all of that talent and Bruce Arians right now?
I don't know what you just asked because I was phasing out.
He had a better record with Bill.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I blame the monolith on this conversation.
It's absolutely the monolith.
This is Howard from Hanover. What's up, Howard? Howard? All right. Howard has disappeared. This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, morning, Greg.
What's up, Jim? Happy Thanksgiving, by
the way.
Good
morning, Danielle.
Hello.
So Belichick's coaching style is not going to work in this generation of the NFL. He had Brady. It worked for years. He's got his 2 kids in the organization. One of them is the defender, and he sucks. The other one coaches the safeties, and they suck. He's never going to win another championship. And don't count Brady out yet. It's early, boys.
Okay.
There's plenty of games left. Mm-hmm. Then the playoffs come around. Then all this talent gels, and they still go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
We're 11 weeks in. When's the talent gel? I mean,
that's what people asked about this show.
You know,
one day.
How hard is it to run a go route and throw it to the right guy, or run an out route and throw it to the
right? How hard is it to throw a screen pass? I don't know. It looks pretty hard for Cam.
Well, guess what? You don't have the talent that Brady has down there.
The
in
talent
Tampa
had
Bay.
Nothing to do with throwing the ball at N'Keal Harry's feet.
Well, that was a bad throw. Okay. Oh, how many bad throws did you see Brady make last night?
25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions versus 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
There we go.
He almost threw 3 picks last night.
Right.
And I love
he's lucky he didn't throw that third
pick. Oh, right. You know what I saw a lot last night? A lot of bad balls.
I love Wiggy yelling hypotheticals while simultaneously telling me that Cam Newton on Tampa would go 11-0.
This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Bill?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, same
to
you.
Same to you.
Bill, are you calling from New Hampshire?
I am.
Can I just, quick note, I had to cancel the in-person portion of the Jingle All the Way 5K in New Hampshire because of the guidance, and I'm really sad about that. The travel from Massachusetts thing became an issue because a lot of those who run that race are Massachusetts mm-hmm. people. So I'm really sad that there won't be an in-person portion of the Jingle All the Way 5K to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation this year. But I am following the guidance, Ken. So for those of you, yeah, Sununu's kind of let me down. He's not my governor anymore.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't have a governor, Greg.
I don't have a governor. I'm a man mm-hmm. without a... Go ahead, Bill. What are you calling about?
I feel for you, Greg. Sorry about that. I know it's a great cause. Listen, just want to kind of disagree with Danielle a little bit. I don't think Trump is going to run in 2024.
Yeah.
I think the only thing he'll be running for is his life as he's going to enter federal prison. Curtis, your gold member lookalike dictator daddy lost the election. Get over it.
Dictator daddy.
Mm. What do you, Bill, what do you think? What do you
call that from now on?
Oh, that really hurt. You hung up.
I'll happy take your answer off Bill. The air.
Happy Thanksgiving.
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 Megabyte.
You heard me? Hello, Joe.
Hey.
What's going on? What's up?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, I just want to put it in perspective for Megamind over there. This obviously is the same roster from last year. Now, it's frustrating to see Cam. Sorry, I'm on the freeway.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to see Cam play the way he does sometimes because obviously you would notice, like, even in last week, the blitz pickup, that's something Brady would have got for sure. Like, the guy's been in the system for 20 years. He doesn't make those mistakes. Cam, he's going to make those mistakes. I'm not saying sign Cam at all, but as far as Belichick, between Belichick and Brady, this is absolutely one of the best coaching performances from Bill, without a doubt. This team, get any other coach, pretty much any other coach in the league, and this team might be 2-7 or 2-8 or whatever. Like, this team is not good. They have a ton of COVID opt-outs.
Yeah.
For a while, they were, like, the most injured team in the league for probably, like, a 2 to 3 week stretch. They were the most injured team in the league. Not saying it's completely talented. But they've been pill battle since like week 2, week 3.
Did you hear Boomer yesterday? He said this is possibly, most likely, Bill's best coaching performance ever.
I didn't hear that, but I'm 28 years old. I've been watching football my entire life. Bill is a fantastic coach. He definitely has a better shot to outside of this year. If Brady and them down in Tampa don't get it done this year, then yeah, Belichick probably does have a better chance to win another Super Bowl because he probably is going to coach for another 6, 7, 8 years. And Brady, we don't know if he's going to play another 5 years like he says he wants to do. He'll definitely be back there next year. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just my take. I personally think Curtis has it all twisted when he's bashing Wiggy that, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, the guy didn't play tight end for what, 10, 15 years. Like, this is not a great team, but they're going to figure it out. They're going to reload again. They have so much cap space. Quarterback will be probably the biggest thing to figure out. But other than that.
Now, Wiggy, thanks for the call.
Can we go over Wiggy's predictions that have gone wrong?
Okay. Stop.
So we're going to go over predictions. Let's go over everybody's predictions and see how right they
are. You know football.
Hey, well, I do know football. I'm an expert, buddy. 10,000 hours.
Keep saying that.
Well, it looks true, Danielle.
I know. Tony Robbins over here.
Curtis, you're insufferable sometimes. That's why I love you. But Texter wants to know if you were alarmed yesterday on this show, Wiggy, when Cam Newton said that 11 weeks in, he still doesn't know the offense.
I don't recall him saying that. I don't recall him saying that at all.
What was the question I asked? Was he comfortable?
I think it was comfortable.
I think Ken has it. Do you feel comfortable in this offense at this point?
I would say so. I think every day for me is another opportunity to get better. Do I know everything in this offense? No, I do not.
Okay. Are you alarmed by that?
No,
11 weeks in?
No, because you think the guy got here, what, late into the whatever type of COVID offseason there was, you know, into training camp. Then he missed a couple of weeks because of COVID. You know, I look at his last four games. Look at his last four games as a quarterback, right? He's thrown two touchdowns, zero interceptions. The guy's been efficient when you've seen what he's done. And I think that's probably what Cam is more than what we saw in San Francisco and the Denver game. And I think a part of that is the COVID fog and the fact that he did miss practice time. And he had players that weren't there. You know, he's dealing with a wide receiver core that you think about. Jacoby Myers just came into it. And he's been able to do a lot with nothing. When we all looked at Tom Brady, myself included, and go, this guy's instant Super Bowl. That talent on offense, a top 10 defense pretty much in every category, and you're the sixth seed?
Too far for Brady and intercepted.
I have a question for you, Iggy, and I'm not joking around or being a ding.
You're going to trigger Curtis. He's going to have an absolute breakdown.
What does knowing the Patriots system have to do with diagnosing a blitz?
Well, it's about understanding where things are coming from.
That has nothing to do with
your
offense.
Wait a second. You telling me I should give Tom Brady a pass because him and Bruce Arians saying that, hey, we're still trying to figure out this offense. Don't we give him a pass?
No, the caller just talked about how Cam doesn't know the offense, and that's why Brady was better at diagnosing blitzes. Knowing the offense and diagnosing a blitz are two totally different things.
No. Knowing the offense and diagnosing the blitz means basically if you know the offense inside and out, you'll know where the soft spots are when the blitz comes, where you need to go.
The spot was easy. It was coming off his right side, and he didn't anything to diagnose the play.
But that's unblockable. That's got to be on the coach.
So then you call timeout.
But that's an unblockable play.
Right, so you call timeout.
But that's a blitz that happened, and both of those blitzes, those are on Josh McDaniels, not on Cam Newton.
I'm just saying that diagnosing a blitz and knowing an offense are two totally different things.
Listen, Tom Brady's doing a real good job with that Tampa Bay offense down there.
Exactly what he just did.
Too far from Brady and intercepted.
the best thing is that Wiggy, even with the COVID, can destroy Curtis in an argument. That's
correct.
That is even when he's ill.
Hey, Greg, are you on?
Greg, I think you got to get your hearing checked.
Greg. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach said his quarterback doesn't know the offense.
Yes, he did.
Right. Who's disputing that?
All right. We got to get to Ken and what is trending.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick joins Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier every Monday afternoon. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Let your love Subaru of New England share event details and authorized Subaru retailers at SubaruofNewEngland.com. 27-24 Rams. Brady had the ball, down three, 2:32 to go. He's got all those comebacks in the fourth quarter and overtime, 47. Instead, it ends like this.
Too far for Brady and intercepted.
Oh, boy, does that hurt. And then here's the Arians at the in the postgame.
Hey, Bruce, Brady's made a career out of moments like that. Why do you think he hasn't played his best football against the better teams in the NFC so far?
Still trying to figure that out. I mean, at times we look really, really good, and then there are times when we obviously don't. I felt very, very comfortable in the two-minute drive until that throw.
Ugh.
Wow.
Even Leonard Fournette had three drops officially. And Arians was asked about that, and he said, well, he really had one drop. Brady's got to throw him a better ball on the other. Like, he can't help himself.
And think about it, Ken. We heard about how Cam has been playing over the past several weeks.
That's true. Arrow was up on Cam. Arrow was down this morning on Brady.
They're turning on each other down there, Curtis.
And Cam has COVID immunity, which Brady does not. He'll still bite him before the end of the year.
It's amazing. Celebrating a 4-6 team. Go Pets.
Yay, 2020.
Both in better shape than Joe Burrow, who has a torn ACL, MCL, and other structural issues in his knee. God,
yeah, but you know,
fan.
When that injury happened, I just saw this, he was not wearing a mask, and that has been coded as a COVID-related injury.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be wearing a mask starting Thursday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was Wiggy's lead this morning, is that the NFL is making a mistake. And this is a guy who has COVID-19. Is it, you say yeah. The NFL, they're making a mistake by requiring players to be on the sidelines wearing masks starting Thursday?
It doesn't make sense to me because once you can play, aren't you in a position where you expect to be safe? Or, I mean, why do you have to now wear a mask on the sidelines when you're not in the game? but you don't have to wear one when you're in the game.
Yeah.
Just that makes sense to me.
So it's like a rhyme or reason thing is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like saying, all right, we're not going to serve alcohol on Wednesday, but we'll serve it on Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like
optics.
Yeah, right.
I was talking to a young fellow who plays football in college, who I will not name.
Okay.
Who told me
was
that
his Vegas trip just canceled?
It's not him.
Was he on the trilogy?
Well, I mean, it could be anybody. Really, Ken. It could be anybody.
Greg does hang out with a lot of young football players. It's on brand, Ken.
Who was saying that it was...
How do you think those girls got on the boat?
They were saying that it was an odd thing that in practice you would have like the coaches telling you to separate on sidelines and make sure it's feet apart. And then you got a D who's 1 inch away from your face, like breathing down your neck. So... I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to it, I guess.
Well, Danielle said it. It's all optics.
It's optics. Mm-hmm. It's optics.
Patriots, Arizona, 1 o'clock, and you'll have a Fox broadcast team of Kevin Burkhardt, Daryl Johnson, and Pam Oliver on the call this weekend. And the signing of Jake DeBrusk. 2 years with the Bruins. He was a restricted free agent. Annual cap hit, $3.675 million. So Krejci and DeBrusk back together for that two-year window. Greg, you think that's the final couple-year run here?
I mean, how long do you think Berge has left?
Yeah, I would say a couple years. And Chara, we don't know. They still have a little cap space if they want to bring him back. Wiggy would say no way in hell.
I hope the Bruins organization is looking at it like a desperation two year window because of those veterans. I mean,
who's their goalie? Is it Tuukka?
Yeah, it's Tuukka. It's definitely Tuukka. And you know, and same with, believe it or not, with Marsh. He's getting up there too.
They're a good young group of draft picks.
But you want to try to win it when you got the veteran guys.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Hey, 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 hey! Hammer Fall!
By far the greatest Queen song, Ken. Bar none, the best Queen song ever, Hammer to Fall.
Almost 30 years since he passed away. 29 years ago today.
Today?
Yeah. Freddie Mercury. And who would be my first pick on the fantasy rock singer draft. You
really?
Had to like assemble like a fantasy draft.
Oh.
Wouldn't you take Mercury one?
No, I would.
That voice is unbelievable.
I would.
Daddy. Daddy, why don't you like me?
Daddy.
That was a good movie, though. That was horrible, but that was a movie.
Very good.
A great movie. I would take Bruce first, obviously.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Okay.
It doesn't matter what... Bob Dylan? I mean, you're going to take Freddie Mercury over Bob
That's
Dylan?
That's not even rock. That's like folk.
Bob Dylan is not rock? What's wrong with you?
No, he's a separate class.
You have a flawed understanding of music.
How would Dylan do if he had Belichick as a coach?
Oh, he'd be
WWDD?
Curtis, I'm itching to discuss The Undoing.
Do you
want to do that coming up? I will, because I have, what happened the other night has completely changed my view of my theory on who the murderer is. So.
Unlike any show I can remember in recent memory, this show sticks with me, and whenever I have a quiet moment, I think about other possibilities
of
what could be, who the killer could be.
I know.
That's too easy, though, for to be in the doing in.
Well, I want to explore that, Wiggy, if that's what you're saying, coming up, because I do. I want to talk about it, but we got to get to this.
When you see neighbors not practicing social distancing or gathering in groups of 10 or more, it's time to call. Quarantine 311.
All right, busy weekend apparently in the city of Boston this past weekend, so we thought we would go over some of the calls that were made to the 311 service Here in the city, in which neighbors are narking on their neighbors who are not following the guidelines. And where do we begin today, Curtis?
In honor of John Kerry, our new climate czar, we start in Beacon Hill.
Okay.
Nice. This came with accompaniment of a photo.
Mm-hmm.
You'll understand why. This sidewalk is half covered with leaves, and as a result, visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wide enough to walk with other people while maintaining any semblance of social distancing.
Okay.
Can you see the issues this could create with the second photo? Please clean up the leaves now, for the love of God.
Well,
no leaf blowers, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Can you hear them in the background at my house?
You know why they can't use the leaf blowers? Because Edith said that was a major problem when it came to the droplets.
Hi, this is Edith, and I live, and I'm concerned about using leaf blowers right now because, you know, we go out and we stay 6 feet away from each other and we wear masks, and then a leaf blower can disperse the coronavirus for way more than 6 feet, and it's probably not a safe thing to be doing at this time. So I didn't know whether you guys had thought about this. It may not even be safe, probably not for your workers. So maybe they could use rakes until this crisis is over. Thank you very much.
They're really psyched about using right. rakes.
Thank you. That was a real caller too. Like
that was early on in this thing. Somebody shared that voicemail. Also, can I make a? There was a somebody DM'd me.
Yeah.
On Instagram and said they had a voicemail from somebody complaining about their Christmas lights and COVID, and they were going to email it to me, and I never got it on my email. So if that person is listening, send it again, because I want to hear that voicemail message.
Well, we are going to go to Brighton now, where this also came with a picture featuring several empty Natty Light cans strewn across a front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Large group has been trespassing / loitering on private property.
Okay.
I clearly noticed zero social distancing and nobody had a mask on. Is the city not taking pandemic
seriously? Oh, they're taking it seriously.
Is the city not enforcing the governor's orders? Why is it that the city is allowing people to trash my private property?
Yeah.
Who's going to clean up this GD mess? Can't be the city. It's private property. Why is the mayor ordering police to let this happen?
Every mask must be worn.
Okay.
All right, we go to Province Street.
Okay.
And I may mispronounce this. I apologize. Bar or Bari, the workout thing?
Oh, pure bar. That's called
pure
bar.
Bar.
Pure bar.
Not to be confused with Barry. Mass.
That's where I do my yoga every day.
Right. Okay. So there's a picture of several housewives doing yoga.
Why do you assume they're housewives?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, ladies of the day.
Why do you assume they're ladies?
people.
Continue.
There are several people here. The bar groove has regard for client healthy.
Oh.
Posting photo shoots without masks or social distancing. Yeah. Zero disinfectant spray.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This is a whole thing, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think we're all in the holiday spirit around here on Commonwealth Avenue. This came with a picture of holiday lights. The crew putting up holiday lights on the mall is not social distancing or wearing masks.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is a hazard.
Can people mind their own freaking business?
No, come on, Greg. You should know better than that.
Or are they standing on ladders together to hang the holiday lights?
They are, definitely. For my man, Wiggy, who I do love, despite what texters say, he's my man. East Boston.
Okay.
Another photo. Major house party at this location right here tonight. People arriving with loads of alcohol.
Loads.
Definitely over 20. And I've counted sane and I've only been looking for 20 minutes.
Looking, staring out my window.
COVID.
Ignoring my family so I can narc on people. Okay.
COVID is clearly no concern to them. And please don't tell me to call 911. I already have.
Oh, and nothing got done about it. Did it.
Pool parties, birthday parties, holiday parties, 4th of July parties.
All right, we go to Forest Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely loud party. The same thing happened yesterday from 10 to 1 a.m. The police came twice. In both times, they just turned the music down and told them to disperse. But they, as soon as the police left, they went right back to partying.
Like,
yeah, that's the way it works. Additionally, the fire alarm went off due to them smoking indoors, and the fire department came and took about 2 hours for them to figure out how to turn the GD alarm off.
We got the climate czar over there. So that's a waste of energy.
He stops it.
They are obviously not following the governor's orders. Your turn to stop them, Marty.
We ask you, you can call 911.
Martin.
Okay, we got a couple more here. Back to Southie. Man. Really loud house party. Quite a few people gathered indoors, and the noise is really intense. Not sure what's going on, but can't be good. Lots of shouting and cursing. I have a 10-year-old daughter. What the hell are you going to do about it?
Yeah. What the hell?
I mean, do these people understand that that is going on every single day? It doesn't matter whether it's a Monday or a Thursday or a Friday. These people are gathering. they won't be denied their opportunity for social interaction.
Stuck in quarantine. There's no end in sight.
We're going to a post office square. First one there we've had, I believe. I walked by one post office square around 9 a.m. this morning and noticed a large number of construction workers who were working on the site without masks while not maintaining any form of social distancing. They are also unmasked while walking on the sidewalk right next to me, also across the street, even with several pedestrians walking by. This is not the first time I have noticed poor mask/social distancing practices among these construction workers at this particular site.
Ooh, we need BPD to get a sketch artist over there.
Yes.
So we can identify them.
Wear your damn mask. How about that?
Can you recollect what the construction workers look like, ma'am, so that we can, or sir, so that we can identify them and have them arrested? All right, one more. We have time for one more, Curtis.
East Boston. There is a huge party in session at 75 Wildemar Ave, number 1.
Oh.
The residents, Brooke, I won't give the name. I'm a concerned neighbor as there are elderly folks residing in this apartment complex. Do you not know about COVID? Right. Please help enforce the rules. This is uncomfortable. Thank you.
Wow.
Brooke holding rogue out of control house party.
It's
she's
crazy.
Living up the heights. She's bougie, Wiggy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's definitely bougie. She's up there throwing a bougie party.
All right. Well,
quarantine. I'm losing my mind.
Here's a text, Curtis, that says, you must make all these up. And no, Curtis does not make
right
up
in
the
there.
No, these are real.
Sadly, they are not fake.
And none of them are like people concerned about COVID. It's always complaining about parties.
well, that's what that's causing the spread is the parties.
Yeah, but the people that are usually, I would think somebody who's making the call would be concerned with their own health. They hate the fact that there's a party going on blocks, a couple of them where they live.
Well, that's what it is. They're mad that they can't go to a party. So they're mad that other people are having a party. So, all right. Thank you, Curtis. Well, you want to discuss The Undoing next?
Love to.
I can't wait.
Yes.
We'll get to that coming up next.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Utah Desert, where the aliens have placed the monolith. That was Danielle's lead this morning. Government, federal government, tracking sheep or something like that with a drone. And they discover this monolith in the middle of the desert. No idea why it would be there. The rock has been there for thousands of years. And the thing is placed in the rocks. It has to be aliens. It's got to be space aliens.
Something.
No other explanation. How does a monolith appear in the middle of the Utah desert?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if it's not for if it's not that we're living in a sim, Wiggy.
I don't even know what a monolith is.
It's all
sim related. Giant piece of metal.
Sim related.
Okay.
All right. So warning that we're going to talk about The Undoing because I can't wait till tomorrow. So if you haven't watched the latest episode, episode 5, then you should probably tune out and come back. Spoiler alert. So Curtis, you have a theory regarding Grace, that's her name, right?
Grace.
Nicole Kidman's character.
Yes.
We can get into that first before we talk about what happened at the end of the episode Sunday night and what that means for who the actual killer is. So your theory on Grace is what?
That she has been working with treating, though, of the murder.
The
husband.
Mm. Really?
Because during the cross-examination.
I never even thought of that.
Okay, go ahead.
The defense attorney is prying him about his mental health,
yes,
and his well-being.
Interesting.
And they try and stop it. They try and overrule the prosecutor tries to prevent the line of questioning, and it ends up with him saying that yes, he's dealing with a therapist.
Yes,
right.
Because of anger.
Oh, and she had him. Maybe she had him as a patient.
Right.
And she was getting all kinds of inside information on Hugh Grant's character having the affair with the wife.
Right.
Mm.
And because of the client privilege, she doesn't have to disclose any of that.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of that, did you see? Just let me detour for 1 second. Did you see, Danielle, the irrational fear story in the news about the guy whose wife was having an affair?
I did.
And he got depression from it, and he went to see his doctor so that his doctor could be treated by this doctor.
Spoiler alert.
And then weeks into the treatment, he finds out that the doctor is the one who is having the affair with his wife.
Isn't that awful?
And now he's suing. He'll probably get millions for that.
Bag of cash.
I would say. So he filed a suit about that.
He did,
Okay. Now, Wiggy, you had a question also?
Yeah, my thing was, Are you cool with the fact that it seems like this is going to be the last episode and then they're going to wrap it up and that there's not going to be a season two?
I don't know how they're going to wrap it all up.
They make it seem like this is it, you know, that we're going to let you know who the killer is.
Well, Nicole Kidman's character is going to testify. A texter says that they believe Grace, her character, has multiple personalities and that she's the killer.
I said she was the killer from day one.
Is that who you think? If we were doing a, you would take Grace?
Yeah, I would.
I would.
Is it kind of like Fitzy and Nick with the multiple personalities?
Ahoy, Nick Stevens.
I think I would take her father, the grandfather, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The kid knew about the affair.
Yeah.
Because he saw Hugh Grant outside the school with the woman.
Oh, son of a bee.
You didn't know?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
So
I'm just mad for
the kid went to the grandfather, told the grandfather about it. The grandfather killed her, and then the kid hid the weapon for the grandfather. And that's why Nicole Kidman discovered the artist hammer. I'm only one episode left. I'm going to go with grandfather. Wiggy, you're going with...
I'm going with Nicole Kidman's character, but okay. I also think that it could somehow be him because the
Grant.
Yeah, because the way to the lady who plays his mother, and then she starts to say some things about him and his past. When you find out about the dog that really wasn't a dog that come to find out, spoiler alert, was his younger sister, and you start to see like maybe this dude is really crazy. And could it be him? And he's got everybody fooled?
The 617 texter still thinks that it is that blonde friend of Nicole Kidman.
Well, there's something that is yet to occur that she is going to have a big role in the finale.
The lawyer lady?
Yes. She has had way too many different interactions that have been sort of meaningless to this point.
You can't introduce a whole nother element with this lady and this be the last episode and not have another season.
No, I'm not saying that she did it. I'm saying that she's going to be somehow involved in the
other woman that Hugh Grant's character slept with. I think that to me is clear.
But rich people.
But doesn't the questioning by the Hugh Grant's lawyer and to the husband basically going, was she having an affair with other people? I feel like there's going to be more to come to that because he keeps pressing that issue.
Yeah. This is Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey. So I think it's the blonde lawyer friend.
Yes.
Okay. And here's why. Everyone else is a red herring. I like to think it was the grandfather because that guy's just awesome, and I feel like he's do that. He's always
when he's in the office with the guy who's the headmaster at the school, and he says, "I'm an old fashioned CS."
I'm an old fashioned CS.
That is one of the greatest lines, written lines in television history. But yes, okay.
How inconvenient does he always? Like, how dare you not want me to see if I'm holding it? That guy is the best.
Yeah.
No, but it's the blonde lawyer friend. That's the affair. He probably lied to her, said that, you know, he was going to leave Grace and all this. I definitely think Grace has some mental issues, and I don't mind the idea that she was treating the husband. I like that. I like that a lot.
The reason why I'm now convinced it's the grandfather is because he and the kid had the weird discussion about the violin, and the weapon was found in the violin case.
Right.
Man, that is a nugget that I forgot about.
Huh?
Right.
See, you have to be a true crime expert like yours truly to figure these things out.
But we haven't gotten to the point. Does Belichick have an alibi?
But Greg,
you think Belichick did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Greg, do you think that this is the last episode to tie up the season, or do you think there's another season?
I don't.
I've read online that they say complete season in itself, so that they don't need to do a season two. Have we gotten any text messages? Which is the favorite thing that that always happens when these things come out. The book was better.
No, is there a book though?
There is a book.
Oh, there
it
is.
Came
a book.
Out in 2014. Yeah.
Because the reason why I asked that is the one part where the Nicole Kidman character says to her father, well, if they do digging, then people are going to know who you are.
Ooh.
Like, what does that mean? Like, remember she said that to him? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people are going to now know. Because we know this dude's clearly got money. Like, his character's gangster, and whoever he is. There's got to be something going on there. And when she says that, I'm like, well, what? And I wanted them to give me a little backstory on who he is, how he got his fortune.
But the Hugh Grant element, though, the conversation between Grace and Grace's mother-in-law, he has to have some involvement in the murder because we know he's a sociopath.
Yeah, I think he is a sociopath, that character.
Because otherwise that just wasted.
So if you're on the lawyer friend, it could be because she was jealous that he had an affair with somebody else.
Right.
That could be why she did it.
Unless it's Hugh Grant and Grace together. Together.
And don't we have to see what happened from the elevator when Nicole Kidman kisses the woman who died? Like, where did they go? Doesn't that have to be filled in for us a bit?
She went back into the party and that woman went home. She went to her,
She left. Remember the woman got off the elevator and Cole Kidman's character was like, I can have my driver take you. And she was like, nah, I'm good.
Isn't it weird that hasn't been brought back up yet, the kiss in the elevator? Because I'm sure there's cameras in the elevator.
Wait, are there six or seven episodes?
Six. This weekend's
this the
last
one. This is
the
finale, right? Because the texter's saying there's seven. No, there's only six.
Isn't it strange that when they were cross-examining the play, and they were like, were there any other, you know, video of anybody else?
Yeah, that he lied about that?
Yeah, and he kind of lied about it because she then brings up the Nicole Kidman character where there was video of her.
Yeah.
So do they have something there? I mean, I feel like just them being able to wrap it up in one more episode, I just can't see how they can do it.
All right. This is Gary. Hello, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, Gary?
Gare.
Hey,
Gare.
Do you want to know who the book says did it?
No. No, no, no. No.
Okay.
No, no. No.
It's always the book people.
I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. All right. That's a little undoing talk for you.
Are we talking about?
Why are you guys talking about a television show?
I got to give it credit, man. It's all right, though.
By the way, quick note on Cam. He knew instantly how much it cost to film the final episode of Game, which tells you he's not coming back here for $1 million.
No, I like the fact that he said Breaking Bad is the greatest television program of all time. Although he said, did he say yesterday that the soundtrack wasn't that good?
Right.
Oh, that's a direct shot at you, bud.
The soundtrack for Breaking Bad might be the best television soundtrack that there is. Rich and I have discussed this countless times.
Titanic. Mm-hmm.
Stranger Things.
That's not a television. That's a movie, Curtis.
But all right,
we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.